a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
With that, it's my pleasure to call Senate Commerce to order. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant? Merchant?
Here.
Nesselhoff? Terbeck-Berry?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum present, and we are going to start today with the House Bill 1189, and then we are going to revert back to the order in which the bills appear on our calendar. We're ready. Proponents for House Bill 1189.
Good morning, committee. Mr. Chair.
Do that.
Senator Pam Merchant, District 7, Brookings County. I have before you this morning a very important and short but powerful bill, and it would support women and their children. And before I call on Representative Blake to present the bill, I wanted to express some reasons why we need this bill. And first of all, the bill would be an act to prohibit discrimination of health insurance for those that have been faced with domestic violence in health and insurance policies. The reasons that we need this bill, that discrimination may be happening already, probably has taken many forms that are very difficult to identify. And it's a very proactive bill, so we are ahead of the game with this bill. And I simply worry about a person who has had a critical situation, such as an anxiety attack or a panic situation where they end up in a hospital. And a lot of times that those may make you feel like you're having a heart attack. And say this person does not have insurance. They go in and they've had a history of abuse, but for, you know, many reasons they have not gone to the doctor. They do not have insurance. Later on, when they are seeking medical attention and they go through the process of trying to buy insurance, that they would simply have some things on their medical background that may preclude them from getting health insurance. So we think that this is ahead of the game. We think this bill is very necessary, and I ask for your consideration on the bill, and I'd like to now call on Representative Blake to give you more information. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And while we're switching proponents, Chair, to entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. Moved by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are hereby adopted. Representative, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome, members of the committee. I'm Susie Blake, representing District 13. I am here this morning with House Bill 1189. You're getting a map printed out now that represents the 42 states that already have this kind of legislation addressing this issue. I became interested in domestic violence and have been over the past 30 years when an organization that I belong to helped to create and finance the first Citizens Against Rape and Domestic Violence Center in Sioux Falls. We helped to put the structure in place for this. We helped obtain training for the first volunteers that worked with these victims. This system has continued to grow and evolve and change to where now it involves over 60 member shelters across our state that support and actually provide life-saving care for victims of this kind of abuse in 62 counties spread across our state. It's now referred to as the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault. It was during those first years, however, that I had a chance to meet and get to know some of the women that were the first to use this program and need this support. Their stories were deeply personal, painful, compelling, and frightening. They were unique to each individual, and yet there were common threads that I heard over and over again. Issues of failure, feelings of inadequacy, a deep sense of shame. This was happening in their homes. A home is where you should feel the most safe and protected. Helplessness at being able to protect themselves and their children from this kind of abuse, and a hopelessness with their situation that actually caused paralysis in their being able to change and step out and away from it. Domestic violence is a very insidious kind of crime. It goes on behind closed doors. It involves a great deal of shame. And it works to constantly erode the self-worth of those being abused. While physical injuries are horrific and should never happen, broken bones do heal. Bruises fade and go away. But the damage done to the self-worth of the victim can take years and sometimes a lifetime to heal. Changing one's life course isn't easy for any of us, even if we have all the right cards and the faculties and the support to do it. For these victims, these barriers that they face feel insurmountable. To move forward and take the steps they need to change the course of their life requires a great deal of courage. I see this bill, 1189, as an opportunity for us to take down one of those barriers so that when these families, these women, are able and ready to seek the kind of health care that they need, we can make sure that it is obtainable for them without bias or discrimination. So I would urge you to help us join the other 42 states that provide these and protect these rights for women and make South Dakota a place that not only says we support families, but takes the steps of action to show we do. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Blake. Further proponents for House Bill 1189?
Senator Olson, members of the Senate Commerce Committee, I'm Diana Miller, and I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault. And I think Senator Merchant and Representative Blake have done an excellent job on outlining a little bit of the history of why this bill is here today. And we have worked with the Department of Insurance and also with insurance companies to make sure we have a fair piece of legislation. And I think the best way to capsulize what we're doing here is say it is preventative. And you are providing an area where you can assist victims of domestic violence. The legislature in its entirety has been very supportive of changing laws to assist those victims and help them get back on their feet, whether it be male or female. And I think that's important. So this particular bill simply eliminates one of those barriers that may or may not exist, but obviously 42 other states had some sort of problem. We do not necessarily in South Dakota have a problem. And so when you pass a piece of legislation like this, I think you're forward thinking and forward looking. And when we have a situation such as this that could exist, you victimize the victim again because they have to have access to health insurance and life insurance and things like that to make their family grow and prosper. And so this particular piece of legislation is a very positive step toward helping those victims. And I, Mr. Chairman, would ask for your support of House Bill 1189, and I'd stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Additional proponents to House Bill 1189? Proponents. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. We would concur that we have not experienced a lot of, have not had any instances of this occurring, at least in our complaint files or investigation files. But we don't think that this is a practice that should be permitted by insurance companies. And if this legislation is passed, this gives us express authority to prevent that from occurring should an insurance company ever want to try and ask these kind of questions on applications. And with that, we'd encourage your support to the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents for House Bill 1189. Additional proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1189? Opponents? Seeing none. Questions of the committee? Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, the chair hereby closes public testimony on House Bill 1189 and would move for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
Move to pass.
It's been a motion by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Turbeck-Berry. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we have a do pass motion on House Bill 1189. All in favor, indicate by saying aye. Opposed, say nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1189 will go to the floor with the do pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I move consent.
It's been a consent motion by Senator Gant, seconded by Senator Adelstein. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? House Bill 1189 will go to the floor on the consent calendar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. That takes us back to the top of our agenda, and we will hear from proponents for House Bill 1040. Before we get started, I'd also like to recognize our pages that are with us for the next 2 weeks. Zoe Cope is from Aberdeen, and Sean Bogue, who really sounds like a former senator we used to have here, from the same hometown, no less, is also going to be helping us out. So in advance, thank you for all the work that you're going to do for us, and we hope you have a great time while you're here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Randy Moses, Division of Insurance, on behalf of a division for House Bill 1040. This bill was brought up by an event that occurred in our filing section. An insurance company wanted to do group life business in the state and was concerned about the refund requirements. We took a look at it, and after looking the situation over and considering, we thought that their concern was warranted, that this particular statutes that we're dealing with don't make a great deal of sense for life insurance to begin with, and for group life either in particular. For instance, if you're talking about life insurance, there's a number of different forms. One of the forms of life insurance you deal with is the traditional whole life insurance, where you have a cash value to that policy. When you cancel it, you're really getting a surrender value on your cash value, not a refund of premiums, and this statute kind of runs counter to that process. Furthermore, with the individual policy, you're talking about a refund to the individual who is being insured. In the group life setting, the policyholder is actually the employer or the association, whoever it may be. And so for a number of different reasons, this statute for group life really doesn't make a lot of sense. And therefore, we're going to the bill would just get the group life out of this requirement and then just leave it up to the contract provisions as how the refunds would work. And with that, I'd stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Additional proponents, House Bill 1040? Additional proponents for House Bill 1040? Seeing none, any opponents to House Bill 1040? Any opponents? Questions of the committee? Chair hereby closes public testimony on House Bill 1040. Moved. There's been a motion by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Gant. Do pass. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we have a do-pass motion, House Bill 1040. Those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, say nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
It's been a motion for consent by Senator Gant, seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? House Bill 1040 hereby goes to the floor with due pass on the consent calendar. Takes us to proponents for House Bill 1089.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Nelson.
May I make a brief introduction to the bill from this chair?
Absolutely.
Because it will take less time for me to do that than it will to walk back and forth. 1089 is a division bill that comes to us today simply to clarify some points of law at this point, and I will turn it at this point over to more eloquent and knowledgeable proponents of the bill. I apologize. Tom Nelson, lead, Senator, District 31, Lawrence County. Thank you, Senator Gant.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman,
members
of the Senate Commerce Committee. My name is Mike Shaw. I am a registered lobbyist for Property Casualty Insurers Association of America. We're here today to ask your consideration of House Bill 1089. This is a bill that has been described as a comfort bill, and it clarifies that the South Dakota Division of Insurance has authority to review and approve insurance policy exclusions. As you would probably suspect, as a regulatory agency, the division reviews all insurance policies in South Dakota before they're authorized for use in our state. And these this review includes policy exclusions, and they approve them or disapprove them as they deem appropriate. While doing this recently, division staff looked at an exclusion, did a little research, and then went to Director Scheiber and said that they didn't think that they had clear statutory authority to do this on the policy exclusions to approve them, even though insurance policies have had exclusions in them since the beginning of time. The director took a look at it, agreed, we met, we had some debate on it, and we decided the best way to resolve this was just to fix it, to clarify that they have that authority. That's what this bill does, plain and simple. It's not going to change much. The division will continue to review policies. They'll continue to approve them or disapprove them as they deem appropriate. With that, we'd stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents, House Bill 1089. Additional proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. On behalf of State Farm Insurance, we support it as well. I agree with the description you've been given by Mike Shaw. I don't think it will change anything. The department feels that they need a little clearer authority in statute, and while we didn't necessarily agree, if it makes them feel more comfortable in doing the job they do, we're supportive of it, and so we sat down and crafted the bill together with them. So we support this legislation.
Thank you. Additional proponents for House Bill 1089? Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. It is correct. We did work on this piece of legislation with the industry folks. Our legal staff was concerned that the existing authority was insufficient to approve what most everybody would consider reasonable exclusions on some of these policies, and we believe this piece of legislation gives us the comfort level from a legislative standpoint to go ahead and continue that practice, and with that, I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents, House Bill 1089? Seeing none. Opponents to House Bill 1089? Seeing none. Questions of the committee? Seeing none. Chair hereby closes public testimony on House Bill 1089, and we move to the committee discussion and action. It's been a motion by Senator Gant do pass, seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we have a do-pass motion, House Bill 1089. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Merchant.
Aye.
Nesselhoff.
Aye.
Trebek-Berry.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Unanimous.
There's been a motion for consent by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Gant. Any opposed? House Bill 1089 will be a due pass on the consent calendar. Brings us to House Bill 1037. Proponents for House Bill 1037. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Merle Shiver with the Division of Insurance. Hopefully we can continue this trend with insurance bills on consent calendar. We'll see. And we'll also give Randy a break, and I'll get up here. House Bill 1037, it's a long bill, but it really has a very straightforward meaning, what we're trying to do here. You've got a bill brief, or I hope that the bill brief was distributed to you section by section with brief descriptions of what each section is trying to do. The main point of this legislation is that we're looking at the renewal date for insurance license producers, okay? Currently, our resident licensees, they renew on a biannual basis on a date certain. I believe it's April 30th, okay? Our non-resident agents renew on December 31st on an annual basis. So right there you can see there's a discrepancy in the renewal dates. The legislation also does some other minor things as far as definition, et cetera, and cleanup bill stuff. But the main thing is, once again, is the renewal date. And what we're going to do with that renewal date is we're going to change it so it's your birth month, okay, on a two-year basis, whether you're a resident or your non-resident agent is going to go on your birth month. And that won't start or be effective for non-residents in 2011 and then for resident agents in 2012. You know, I want to point out that there's no changes in the fees, amounts, no changes in continuing education, and there's really no changes in the examination requirements or anything like that. Why are we doing this, or why is this legislation coming forward? Many states currently are in the process of trying to do some uniformity in the licensing renewal process. Okay, our agents, our resident agents, have many states that they do have or hold non-resident licenses in. Excuse me, and therefore it is kind of a hassle when Iowa has a different time frame than South Dakota has a different time frame. So we're trying to pull this together in a uniformity amongst the other states. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners is on board with this. We have many models that we try and pull together to get the uniformity between the states, so it's easier for the insurance agents to get licensed. And like I say, that's just one of many things it does. And I guess we work with the big eye, the independent insurance agents, and also NAFA, the National Association of Insurance for Financial Advisors, and they are on board with what we're trying to do here, too. With that, I would urge your support for this bill and stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Additional proponents, House Bill 1037. Additional proponents, any opponents for House Bill 1037? Questions of the committee? Seeing none, the chair hereby closes testimony on House Bill 1037. Would open for discussion and or action. Senator Nestler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to ruin our good streak of having no comments, but having actually had one of these licenses, this is, I think, a very good change. I could give you a few examples why, but I don't think I need to. I'd move to pass.
There's been a motion for due pass by Senator Nestlehoff, seconded by Senator Merchant. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we have a due pass motion, House Bill 1037. Those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nestlehoff?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1037 is hereby passed. Been a motion for consent by Senator Gant, seconded by Senator Merchant. Very well. Senator Nestlehoff has moved for consent, seconded by Senator Merchant. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1037 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation on the consent calendar. Senator. What?
I'm doing my best to control.
It's hard work. Chair's going to defer House Bill 1001 till our Thursday meeting, which will bring us to House Bill 1069. Proponents for House Bill 1069. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Rich Engels, District 9, Hartford, and House Bill 1069. Comes to us from the Mount Zion Temple in Sioux Falls, and there was a interest in importing a small quantity of good quality kosher wine for Passover, and as the existing law was reviewed, they determined that they didn't feel that the individual exception contained in SDCL 35-4-66, allowing for 1 gallon to be brought in for personal use only, would allow for the sacramental use of wine. So the bill was drafted to allow a limited exception to bring in 4 gallons of wine for sacramental use, and the language was modeled after the individual exception. There is another statute that we could have used to draft the exception, and that's been handed out to the committee, SDCL 35-1-8.1, that does exempt sacramental wines from licensing and taxation laws. But if we had put transportation or importation in here, we would have potentially open the doors wide open for any quantity of wine to be imported or transported, and potentially for people to claim they're a religious organization for the purpose of avoiding regulation. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to have a very narrow exception, and that's the reason that the statutes before you, 35-4-66 and 67, were chosen for that amendment. Right now, it's difficult to import a good quality kosher wine into South Dakota because the distributors generally require a retailer to buy a 50-case quantity of that wine, and there's a limited market for that kind of wine, so the retailers generally don't import that kind of quantity. On the other hand, there is a kosher wine that is available and has been used right now, and you've probably heard of it, Mogan David. And it was, I guess I didn't realize that Mogan David is a kosher wine, but it is. And that's what's been used in the past, but there was a desire to bring in some different wine, possibly some Israeli wine, better quality. So that's what the bill does, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Engels. Additional proponents, House Bill 1069.
Mr. Chairman, can I speak
Absolutely.
From here? Would you prefer I went?
You're perfect.
That's the first time he's ever... thank you. I, as a proponent of this bill and the Senate sponsor, I can see why he didn't use Section 30, Code 35-1-8 that he handed out, because as it happens, you look at it, South Dakota has two more United States senators than it has ordained rabbis. So that wouldn't have applied. And then I go to the issue of Mogan David wine. You know, it's really terrible. And the limited quantity in a state with only 300 Jews, at least that's what it says in one book. I hate to have to try and find them all. It really, 4 gallons is a very adequate amount. And I might just tell you parenthetically that historically Jews have a lower percentage of alcoholism than other people. And I've come to the conclusion, and many have come to the conclusion, that because children are allowed once a year at the Passover Seder to drink wine, and so they take advantage of drinking that much Mogan David wine, and they're following illness and feelings of poor health really get them off the idea of excessive alcohol for the rest of their lives. So that's the only danger in this bill, that maybe children might develop a taste for better quality wine, but it's a limited danger, so I certainly hope the committee will pass it, Bill.
Thank you, Senator. Additional proponents, House Bill 1069. Seeing none, any opponents, House Bill 1069? Questions of the committee? Seeing none, Chair hereby closes public testimony on House Bill 1069. We open it up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, I move do pass.
Do pass motion by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
I think I'd given enough.
I agree. House Bill 1069 has a do pass motion. All those in favor indicate by saying aye, opposed saying nay. Secretary, will please call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Terbeck-Berry? Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Mr. Chairman, I move to consensus to spare the floor the narrative that should be held really to be enjoyed by this committee alone.
There's been a consent motion by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Terbeck-Berry. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. House Bill 1069 hereby goes to the floor with a do-pass motion on the consent calendar. And that concludes our business for today. Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
It's been a motion to adjourn by Senator Nesselhoff, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.